Welcome to another episode of Keep It Sample. My name is Wes Sample. I'm here with my brother, Drew Sample. Drew, say hi.
Hi.
And that's all Drew's going to say for today, so now it's all going to be me. Tonight we're going to be talking about something that a lot of people take very personally, something that is one of the forbidden topics in terms of social conversation. It's not about that rash that you have underneath your crotch. It's actually religion, which to some people is a rash that they have underneath their crotch. And religion is something that's very important to a lot of people. And it's understandable because one of the big things that religion always tries to answer is there an afterlife? What is the meaning of life? What am I doing here? What's important? Give me some sort of purpose other than my job. And it's been going on since the history of mankind. I mean, ever since there was caveman paintings on walls, there's been worshiping of fire and the sun and various things. And it's a very common practice because even when people weren't speaking to each other in terms of a regular way that we do now in terms of global speaking or even primitive speaking, you had different cultures that had different religions. Asia had their own religions. They had their own gods, and it was mostly polytheistic, which is multiple gods. The Greeks had theirs. The Romans had theirs. The
original Jews had theirs.
All sorts of people had gods and beliefs. And a lot of it was for explaining things that they didn't know. What is that giant thing in the sky? Well, you know, let's create a story and we'll talk about it and we'll tell things. And that brings me to the core center of things, which is mythology. Mythology is by definition, well, by my definition, religions that are no longer practiced. The Greeks, everybody knows about Zeus. Everybody knows about Apollo and Hermes and all these other gods. And people know about the Egyptians. And they know about Anubis. And people know about Odin and Thor, partially because of Marvel movies. But these were all things that were genuinely worshipped, that people genuinely believed. But at some point, they were conquered. And when they were conquered, the people who conquered them brought in their religion, and they were able to say, look, your gods aren't real, which is why we conquered you.
Was it their religion, or was it their decided religion for the slaves?
By what do you mean?
Well, I mean, so the Romans, when they took over Europe, didn't Constantine kind of just make up the Bible to control their people? And that's why they're like, oh, you have a holiday on this day. Well, our religion does too.
Well, that's part of the assimilation process. So anytime that someone was conquered, early on, I don't know when, but at some point people found out, well, instead of just saying that all of your people are wrong, say, oh, no, that's our God, but you just call him by a different name. So you're not exactly wrong. You're just wrong in terms of the terms. So, for example, even with the Greeks and the Romans, Apollo is Apollo.
Yeah, but, I mean, do you think it's weird that Roman mythology was Greek mythology and then it transitioned into Roman Catholicism?
Well, that was different, though. I mean, the transition from Catholicism, well, into the Roman Catholic Church was based on a prayer prior to a battle saying, you know, oh, if you get Jesus, I'll pray to Jesus, and if we win this, they'll know that Jesus is the true saving grace. But Christianity up until that point was just a cult. And the Romans had all kinds of cults to different gods and goddesses. And some of these mini cults had their own little mini holidays, which is what we see a lot of the Wiccan follow today, from different gods and goddesses, pagans, essentially, yes, true.
Or druids. And Wiccans.
And a lot of them saw things as very interesting. You know, the Carthaginians had a different god, and it's one of the reasons why the Punic Wars even happened. The Punic Wars were when Rome went to battle with Carthage, which is around Egypt or so in Africa, which is where Hannibal took his elephants and they rode all the way around the continent to attack. And they lost.
Someday Vin Diesel will make that movie, guys. He's been trying to do it for 25 years. He can't get funding, but someday he'll do it.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I would. No,
it's off. It's like he was trying to do it in the early 2000s when he got Riddick, Chronicles of Riddick. And it was always on the thing, but yeah. But he's rocking dad bod. So Dwayne Johnson, Jason Statham are stealing one of his franchises at this point. The Riddick sequel, because they made the third one.
Well, what's
and it
the,
was good. Well, and the fourth one, at Furia, is supposed to come out next year, but there's no indication that there's any production. Vin Diesel's just rocking out dad bod, and he forgot that his appeal was that he was in really good shape.
And he's a giant nerd.
But he's a giant nerd.
Little known fact, Vin Diesel loves Dungeons and Dragons. He loves fantasy. He's a giant nerd.
Yeah, but he was a big fan of Hannibal, and he was supposed to make a movie about it. And it was always pre-production. And I think he talked to a bunch of people about funding it, and it just never happened because it would be a huge, expensive project. And then I don't know if you saw Guy Ritchie's King Arthur. Very good.
Is that the one that has
Charlie Hunnam? And it's the latest one.
When did it come
Jude
out?
Jude Law.
Oh.
2 years ago.
Yeah, I did not see that.
It's actually really good. I mean, it's Guy Ritchie. It didn't do well in the box office. He's still making good movies.
I don't know, man. I feel like Guy Ritchie lost his mojo once he married Madonna.
No, so a lot of people think that, but he really lost his mojo and Matthew Vaughn and him split up. Matthew Vaughn did his own production company, which is like Kick-Ass 1 and 2, The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Not The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. That's a different pile of shit, which was a great Alan Moore short. Kingsman. He did Kingsman 1 and 2. He rebooted X-Men with X-Men First Class, which was good.
Isn't one of those guys who did X-Men one of the new writers on Game of Thrones?
I don't know, but Bryan Singer was the original guy, and Bryan Singer took the franchise over again before he became a pederast and got kicked off. Well, he was always a pederast, but he got exposed for being a pederast, and he got kicked off of the fictional story about Queen and Freddie Mercury.
Well, he's
but anyways, Matthew Vaughn's producing the new movie about Elton John.
That actually looks kind of interesting.
Well, so that's the guy that came in and directed after they booted out Bryan Singer.
Oh, okay.
For the Queen movie. When the Queen movie is a good movie, but it's not historically accurate.
Well, I mean, that's always with these movies.
Well, they were pretty open about it. Like, they were just like, we're just trying to make a good movie about Queen. It's not Freddie Mercury. And, like, the bi community was very upset because they want to claim Freddie Mercury. And then the gay community is like, no, he was gay. And the bi community is like, no, he was bi. He fucked everything. Like, David Bowie.
David Bowie was a fucking... I love David Bowie,
well,
first
so,
of all.
So, but like, so this ambiguousness about sexuality and everything, we can tie back into the Romans. Because we need to stay on... Can I have another truly...
Yeah. So with the Romans, speaking of the ambiguity, Romans had this thing where for them, they had a culture where it was perfectly normal for a young man or a boy to be courted by an older gentleman on the side. And it was the Erastes and the Eromenos, which is from Eros, which is Cupid, essentially, or, you know, one of the gods of love, essentially, since there's so many. And the older gentleman would come and he would court them. He would give him gifts and so on and so forth. And then the older gentleman would fuck the younger gentleman in the ass, which was the only way it was done. If, on the other hand, the older gentleman wanted to be fucked in the ass, it was totally seen as a total faux pas. That was totally not acceptable. Mm. The older person had to be giving it.
That's interesting. And actually, there's a long history in New Guinea of the journey of young men is to suck off all the older men and get fucked in the ass.
I mean, there's a lot of because there's so much masculinity in terms of which is much more commonplace in terms of the male being seen as superior. Let me finish. The male being seen as superior, though, that more often than not, that it's very commonplace for them to say, we don't need any of these young women or anything. All they're supposed to do is be having babies and such. We're going to fuck the men because that's a manly thing to do.
That sounds like toxic masculinity. Are you implying that toxic masculinity is actually being gay, sir?
I'm saying that this is, and it wasn't
seen
as being
manly.
Gay.
He's like Badahari, because you know Badahari and Ronaldo. Badahari's the badass K1 fighter. He's like Moroccan and Dutch. And there's all these weird gay photos of him and Ronaldo, the good soccer player, not the old Brazilian one from when we were younger, but the older one. And they look kind of gay. And it's like, yeah, Badahari, he's so fucking manly. He fucks men.
Well, that's...
But that's the old saying. That's what's funny about it. And then to tie back into Romans and Hannibal and Vin Diesel, in the beginning scene of King Arthur, which I actually really liked, and actually The Man from U.N.C.L.E. is really fucking good by Guy Ritchie, and it also fell on deaf ears, and now he's rebooting Aladdin, which looks like a pile of shit.
With Will Smith?
I'm going to go see it to support Guy Ritchie, but
no,
there's these
that.
Giant elephants, and then in the beginning of the movie, and the first thing I thought of was like, I bet Vin Diesel's watching this, being all butthurt because he can't get that Disney money for the CGI.
So Hannibal, the way that the Punic Wars worked is the Romans essentially had a major problem with the god Baal. And it's been pronounced different ways, B-H-A-A-L, Baal, Baal. It depends on different pronunciations, but he's commonly seen as an evil god or a death god or anything. But it was one of the principal gods of the Carthaginians.
Too bad he's not a Shinigami.
Well, what happened is they often made sacrifices of children, of babies, which is very commonplace in a lot of things because they're seen to give more virgins and babies and essentially pure things are always seen throughout Native American, South American cultures like the Aztecs and things. The virgin goddesses are always seen. Everything is seen as being more pure that way. So which drastically changes in terms of Catholicism when you're born with original sin, where babies are seen as dirty until they're blessed.
Also polytheistic in reality.
Well, that's very true. But once again, it's a polytheistic thing. But the sacrifices of pure things are seen as more holy than not. And you'll see that as well in terms of the Bible. The greater the sacrifice, the more power you get from it. Because when sacrifices in terms of like Cain and Abel are done, you know, he sacrificed a goat, whereas you only sacrifice some grain. The grain is seen as not as good, not as important, whereas the life of the goat is seen as the greater sacrifice, and the greater sacrifice is smiled upon. But anyway. So the Carthaginians sacrificed children, and to the Romans that was absolutely appalling. Sacrificing children, you know, they saw themselves as the highest of culture and the most evolved people, and you know there can be arguments made for that, but they found it so wrong that they essentially invented reasons. Which, go figure. Here we are years later, invading Iraq for invented up reasons and things of that nature, which is the history of war.
Or soon to be Iran or Venezuela.
Right. But so, you know, you make up reasons.
Shout out to the West Clark Seven.
No, fuck that.
Those are the seven countries we're all going to invade. Shout out to those countries.
Anyway, so the Carthaginians.
That was a hilarious shout out. Come on now, it's ridiculous.
So there was one Roman senator even who ended every single speech that he gave, "Carthago delenda est," which is Carthage must be destroyed. Not any other it must be destroyed. So originally they you know, beat Carthage and they destroyed their fleet. It was known as the greatest fleet at the time, destroyed it, took out all of it. And they put in all these sanctions. You're not allowed to have a fleet anymore or anything like that. And Carthage followed them. They said, okay, we won't. So then what Carthage did is they used their power of their location and their spices and everything else, and they've created a great amount of wealth. And Rome didn't like that anymore, so they attacked him again. There ended up being three Punic Wars, and at the end, a lot of people think that they actually, that the Romans took the fields and poured salt in the fields so that nothing would grow, so that they wiped them out entirely. They didn't actually do that, but they did slaughter all their people every which way because they had a problem with their religion. This goes on later on in history as well. Like I said, Hannibal lost all his people trying to invade Rome, taking his elephants.
Hannibal Barbera, right?
No. It's Hannibal Barca. Burka.
Just kidding.
Barca. But it's close.
I was shouting out the cartoon.
You're thinking of Hanna-Barbera.
Oh, yeah.
Yogi great. Bear. But that's just one of several things. So later on, of course, the Romans have all these little cults. Everyone worships different things. Some people have a cult that has orgies. Some people have a cult that does this. One of the cults, though, was this little thing called Christianity.
What, wasn't it Gnosticism?
Well, that's one of several things.
So is a different sect within this cult?
Right. Different things. Yeah. I don't have time to get into it.
These are 30-minute episodes, and I already derailed it enough with my nonsense.
What time are we sitting at now?
16 minutes.
Okay, yeah. So what essentially happens, though, is when a place goes in and they conquer people, they say, oh, well, we've got that as well. You have a sun god, so do we. You have a god of death, so do we.
I think it was actually excellent public relations.
Well, it is. It's one of the best public relations because you can't go and conquer somebody and tell them everything's wrong. You assimilate the people. And what the Romans did that were so good about assimilation, and I'm not trying to tie this all into the Romans, is you had a way to work your way into their citizenry, so to speak.
Yeah, but I think the Romans still really influence this country because now there's Christianity became its own thing here, which I don't think, well, it's not really lasting. And I think it kind of goes back to, you know, a fan of a book that we're both fans of, which is American Gods. And when I got out of American Gods, which is actually a great book about mythology, is that,
well, it's not just about mythology, it's
folklore. And the thing is, but America doesn't have mythology, it has folklore. And the reason why is because with the book, like, there's symbols in the land, but it ties into the land. Like, the land never, nothing, no religion can survive on this land. And it's kind of like a mystical idea, which is very fun.
Well, and going back to it, though, Christianity does the same thing. Even though it's essentially a monotheistic religion in terms of you have God, it's essentially polytheistic, especially if you look at things, let's say Catholicism. Well, you've got the three. You have the
Father. Which is
the
Father, original, and you can fuck off if you don't think that it's not the original.
Well, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So that automatically makes it polytheistic.
And it's the trilogy, the Holy Trilogy.
Well, and then not only that, you have all
spectacles,
these things.
Spectacles, testicles, shoulder.
Well, as I was saying, when you conquer a territory, once again, even though it's a monotheistic religion in terms of saying, oh, we have our God and we have Jesus, that still happens in terms of saying, okay, well, how do you write off my God of this? Oh, well, that's Saint so-and-so. This is Saint so-and-so.
Yeah.
That is the same thing that the Romans did. Instead of saying that they're full-on gods, oh, no, this is just the patron saint of this. This is the patron saint of that. You've got the patron saint of travel. Saint Gabriel Pacenti is the patron saint of handguns.
I highly recommend the Old Testament, and actually the Book of Genesis by R. Crumb. And he did a fully animated, a very... I have it, but you can get it on Amazon. But it kind of shows actually how there's different gods, because he doesn't try to. He tries to objectively animate a translation, and it shows that there's different gods. Like, oh no, this god, no, you just have to hold me as the highest god. And that sort of idea.
Well, and that's something that's very commonplace. So you have Zeus, who's the highest god amongst the Greeks. Jupiter, the highest god amongst the Romans. You have Odin, who's the highest god amongst the Norse. And then you have, let's say, depending on the time period, you have Osiris or Horus amongst the Egyptians, who ranks amongst the highest.
So we have 10 minutes left. Should we talk about the, Joseph Campbell broke down a lot of stuff about hero theory and all that stuff. But there was another scale you'd talk about how Jesus would.
Right. It's called the Raglan scale. And the Raglan scale is essentially there's very commonplace myths or very things that occur often in myths. So one of the things that you'll find very often is someone dies on a hill or dies for their people. Another thing that you'll find is that they come from a virgin mother. Another thing that you'll find is that they come from a king or something of that nature.
So Dionysus, Mithra, Osiris, and also Horus. Horus and Osiris have a lot in common with Jesus, and they're both Egyptian gods.
Well, you're going to find a lot with all of them. The story of Perseus ranks highest on the Raglan scale because there's certain things where different cultures had different miniature gods close to them who they worshipped. Now, when I say miniature gods in different cultures, I mean what you would have is within, 100 miles of each other, people who were tribes essentially would end up worshipping something that sounded familiar. And now that's not to say that these things weren't accurate in terms of things that they're based off of. What would often happen is there would be a particular person or hero or someone who was a great tribes leader who took their people to the higher land. And then what would eventually happen is their story would be exaggerated to the point where they became mythological, where they became worshipped by men, by women, by the tribe as a whole. And one of the things that eventually became exaggerated as they were together more often over a longer period of time is that they would start colliding with each other.
Shout out to Truly Citrus. It's sponsoring my nonsense. Keep going, Wes.
Sorry. Yeah, it's sponsoring Drew's nonsense. So what would happen is on the Raglan scale is there's all these different things, like I said. And the more things that were commonplace, because all these myths share this one underlying feature, it's more likely that this particular story was something that when they were conquered, they combine the stories. Like I said, it's not that it's your god is wrong. It's that he has a different name. The one that scored the highest was Perseus. The second highest was actually the story of Jesus. And once again, I'm not trying to say that anyone's religion is wrong or that anything's, not true.
I totally will. Your shit's childish. You're the hero in your own world. Worship yourself. But don't be vain, motherfucker.
You worship a zombie. But reincarnation is a very common thing. That's what happens with Osiris. This is what happens with tons of other gods. It's what happens with Odin. Odin hung himself on Yggdrasil. Yggdrasil breaks down from the Norse. Ygd is one of the names of Odin, just like Odor and so many other things. And Yggdrasil is gallows. So it's Odin's gallows. So that's seen as the place where Odin hung people. That's the story is Odin hung himself once again for mankind type of thing, or to learn things.
Yeah. I want to shift gears and shout out a different kind of mythology, which is a different religion. So we can hit some Japanese religions. A lot of people aren't familiar with
there's Shintoism and there's
Shintoism. And then, big fan of the Shinigami. They don't talk about Shinigami a lot, but that's a real Japanese myth. There's a lot of...
It's not just cartoons.
Yeah, it's not just shout out to Death Note. Great cartoon, great graphic novel. Until it gets to about, they kill off a main character, and then it's just not the same. It's hard to like hit a. I think in writing in general, it's hard to hit a point to where you kill off a major character, and you get to like that.
You don't plateau.
Well, I mean, it was so good when they killed off that character, and then to build back up from there, they just couldn't do it. Well,
that's the problem that, you know, certain stories, Game of Thrones has killed off a lot of characters. Other things like, let's say, Dallas, they had to bring a character back because it was so bad.
Star Wars, they're just never really gone.
Yeah.
They're never really gone in Star Wars. That's why you can hear Palpatine's laugh in the new shitty Star Wars preview.
Real fast, though, prior to that, here's my question. Why is it that when you watch these prequels, none of these Jedi are seeing any of their other people, any of their former masters? Why is it that all of a sudden Qui-Gon Jinn figures it out and everyone else can?
I don't know, man. But
it's because it's shitty story writing.
Yeah,
that's why.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Anyway, go on.
But I think that, and actually when it comes to writing, the narrator should always be a Shinigami.
Well, first of all, explain what a Shinigami is.
Shinigami is a death god.
A death god.
And a death god takes life, and that's its whole purpose. But most of the time, it's just bored. So it sits around, and sometimes it likes to fuck with humans.
Which is a very common theme amongst all polytheistic religions.
Exactly.
And if you think about it, let's talk once again about Job. Job.
Shout out to the Coen brothers. They made a movie based on the story of Job. It's called An Ordinary Man. I think it's what it's called.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. We can watch it tonight if you want.
Anyway, the story of Job is essentially God and the devil are having this discussion. And you're going to find out that many conversations that happen in terms of stories in the Bible, in terms of just fables, are fables. They're like Aesop's fables. Most of them are.
A serious man. Sorry. Keep
okay.
going.
And so God and Satan are having basically a conversation about how, well, the only reason why Job loves you so much is because you give him all this good stuff. And God says, well, no, that's not true because Job has absolute faith in me and divinity. He's like, oh, yeah? Well, let's see what happens when you shit all over Job. And God says, all right. So God shits all over Job, kills his son, like fucking gives him the plague. Like he gets syphilis. He gets ED. The man has bleeding butthole. And he still worships God, which is the exact same story, essentially, of
the sun and the wind.
That is correct, which everyone else knows. But these are the things that happen a lot. And the more, and Aesop's Fables is something I wanted to hit on, and we just ran out of time. But if you read most of Aesop's Fables, you're going to find that there is a story that's comparable from the Bible. And the thing is, the reason why people know of Aesop's Fables is because you're taught these things as a child.
Usually in Bible study.
Well, not necessarily in Bible study for Aesop's Fables, but you're taught these things as a kid because they're easy to learn, and there's an easy story, and it's always
the grasshopper and the ant.
Right, and it's all about learning something ethical. And it's all about learning, you know, be good, work hard, treat other people well.
I would say
which
it's,
is what the
civics.
Well, yeah.
Which isn't really taught anymore, actually.
It is. It's called in a class called civics.
We don't have civics class anymore.
You take it in college, but not until then.
you don't take it. So for the people that don't go to college, which is most of people.
Well, you'd learn these things on shows like Sesame Street, which is now on HBO. But these are things that people learn as a child through books and through other things. But these are stories that have been told for countless generations because it's the way to educate people. Now, these stories have changed, though. The Good Samaritan is the same thing. All these things. Now, people don't know. Samaria, though, was known as essentially being, you know, the greedy Jew. like the mean, awful person. You don't know that because that's the irony of the Good Samaritan.
And I just want to say to everybody that has a lot of respect for Jews, I just want you to know they don't believe in heaven because it's childish, and they don't sugarcoat things for their children, and that's why they're better than you.
Well, I'm not going to once again say anything because this is Drew speaking on his behalf. But these stories all have some sort of underlying or relatable thing, and it's because children learn these things better when it's told in a story. You know, people aren't quoting scripture to children, and children aren't remembering it. They're being told stories. Everybody knows the story of the whale. Everybody knows the story of the fucking giant and the sling.
And that's why, as Catholics, we were never taught the Bible as being literally. It was always figuratively in his stories.
Well, I can't say that for certain, but Jonah and the whale. What's the story about the giant and the little guy with the sling? I'm brain farting.
It's Goliath.
Yes, David and Goliath. Thank you.
Yeah, but David and Goliath is a great example, and we're over 30 minutes, but I'm just going to say this. The main point of David and Goliath was that everybody has a giant in their life that they need to slay.
Well, and that's what Aesop's Fables does, the same thing with these different stories. But once again, we're running out of time. So thank you for listening. Drew and I want to thank you for tuning into the last 30 minutes, listening to us ramble, listening to Drew talk about offensive things to you and your personal religion. And remember, the next time when you're choosing who to worship, if you don't know if it's real or if it's fake.
If you don't know, just value for value, just give us money. And it's better than giving money to your church.
So if, as I was saying, if you're ever not sure who to worship and you're not sure if something's real or if it's fake or if it's something that's been passed on for generations, just think about it and remember to keep it simple.